I asked Peter again if the critic would be willing to step aside and give the boy a chance to speak. He shut down completely and left the session saying that he was unlikely ever to set foot in my office again. But the following week he was back. As she had threatened, his wife had gone to a lawyer and filed for divorce. He was devastated and no longer looked anything like the perfectly put-together doctor whom I'd come to know and, in many ways, dread. Faced with the loss of his family, he became unhinged and felt comforted by the idea that if things got too bad, he could take his life in his own hands. We went inside again and identified the part that was terrified of abandonment. Once he was in mindful self-state, I urged him to ask that terrified boy to show him the burdens he was carrying. Again, his first reaction was disgust at the boy's weakness. But after I asked him to get that part to step back, he saw an image of himself as a young boy in his parents' house, alone in his room, screaming in terror. Peter watched this scene for several minutes, weeping silently through most of it. I asked him if the boy had told him everything he wanted him to know. No, there were other scenes, like running to embrace his father at the door and getting slapped for having disobeyed his mother. From time to time, he would interrupt the process by explaining why his parents couldn't have done any better than they had, there being Holocaust survivors and all that implied. Again, I suggested he find the protective parts that were interrupting the witnessing of the boy's pain and request that they move temporarily to another room. And each time he was able to return to his grief. I asked Peter to tell the boy that he now understood how bad the experience had been. He sat in a long, sad silence. Then I asked him to show the boy that he cared about him. After some coaxing, he put his arms around the boy. I was surprised that this seemingly harsh and callous man knew exactly how to take care of him. Then, after some time, I urged Peter to go back into the scene and take the boy away with him. Peter imagined himself confronting his dad as a grown man, telling him, "If you ever mess with that boy again, I'll come and kill you." He then, in his imagination, took the child to a beautiful campground he knew, where the boy could play and frolic with ponies while he watched over him. Our work was not done. After his wife rescinded her threat of divorce, some of his old habits returned, and we had to revisit that isolated boy from time to time to make sure that Peter's wounded parts were taken care of, especially when he felt hurt by something that had happened at home or on the job. This is the stage IFS calls unburdening, and it corresponds to nursing those exiled parts back to health. With each new unburdening, Peter's once scathing inner critic relaxed, as little by little it became more like a mentor than a judge, and he began to repair his relationships with his family and colleagues. He also stopped suffering from tension headaches. One day he told me that he'd spent his adulthood trying to let go of his past, and he remarked how ironic it was that he had to get closer to it in order to let it go.